Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. We are at episode number 357. Big thank you to the band Far Cry for our great intro music, of course. And tonight it is finally a night with both electricity and calmness here in the center of the Bluegrass where I am broadcasting from. And joining me tonight also in the center of the Bluegrass, probably about, so I'd say 30 feet away from me, is the lovely, the vivacious, the wondrous Holly Phillippe. Holly, there you are.
I'm here.
Yes, loud and clear. And we are glad to have electricity, aren't we?
Very much so.
Yeah, for those of you keeping score on the nation's weather, there was a massive storm that hit last Friday. So Holly and I had a little over 4 days without power. And yeah, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but yeah, let me tell you, after a few days, yeah, it gets to you quick. And we actually moved to a hotel room so that we could continue working and all, and lo and behold, they actually got the power back restored a little bit earlier than they had initially projected. So we did get to come home and didn't have to bump the Star Chamber show forward or anything. So we're on schedule tonight. So I count it as a win. Oh, fun.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, no, Holly.
You don't realize what you take for granted until you do without electric for almost 5 days. I'm telling you.
Nope.
I couldn't cook. I mean, everything in our house is electric. We had no heat. It was cold because it got chilly, and it was colder in here than it was outside at times.
Yeah.
And the cats didn't seem to care. They didn't care at all. But yeah, couldn't see at night, you know, had to light the house up with candles and all that good stuff. And you couldn't find D batteries nowhere here.
Nope.
So our batteries were running dead in our flashlights. Well, if it went on a couple more nights, we would have been in the dark because there was no D batteries to be found. So
no, it was quite the adventure.
It was crazy.
But we are back.
There was some people, well, We did get lucky because nothing happened to our house. A couple houses down, a tree fell through those. And then a tree actually tore down the lines and demolished a shed next door. And then a couple streets over where my captain there lives of the steamship, Caduceus, you know, Jennifer Norrin, a couple houses down from her, a couple, I guess, were killed when a tree fell on their car. So, yeah, that, I mean, you know, we can count ourselves lucky and blessings. And we had the oldest grandkids here with us all weekend and their parents. So, yeah, at least misery loves company, and we were all miserable together.
Yeah, they helped us get through it for sure. It was, I actually enjoyed hanging out with them, even though it was in less than ideal circumstances. And we still had fun.
Nice.
We made the best of it. Yeah, there's lots of laughs and camaraderie and fellowship, as they say. So, but it was, I enjoyed it still. Yeah, I still enjoyed it. So, but yes, I'd prefer to have some of the modern amenities and, yeah, we didn't have internet and, of course, scrambling to get phones charged, having to use car vehicles to charge batteries. Yeah, just a lot of good joys. And by winds, I mean, she's not kidding. The house that's a couple doors down from us, the tree that hit it, I mean, we're talking like a full-size cedar tree. I mean, like big, old, giant cedar tree. I mean, just like big trees that were getting just uprooted And that's the one that crashed across the court with the neighbor's shed. And then the one a couple doors down that hit their house. I mean, we're talking full-size trees. I mean, so, yeah, this was a pretty intense storm. And, yeah, they said it was the third worst in, like, 20 years. That's what the utility company claimed. So it was pretty bad. But we're glad to be with you tonight. I mean, it's definitely going to be a great night. We got a great conversation ahead. Chat room's open. Remember to refresh your browser if you're having any trouble getting in. Looks like Kenzie Michaels and of course, Metalbeck Harrison, who's was first in tonight, and Holly's in there. And so, yeah, we take questions and comments in the chat room all the time. And but, yeah, we're going to give you the two that sponsored tonight's show, who brought you tonight's show. And then we are also going to bring you a little bit of news, and then we'll get to our awesome guests for the evening. But with Imaginarium news, as far as who this podcast is affiliated with, the wonderful convention, we added four new panelists just a couple days ago. We have author and filmmaker and screenwriter Ethan Avery. We have author, artist, graphic designer, and comic creator Megan Redman. And then we also added author Dan R. Armin and also author Mary R. Armin. And so, yeah, a group of four outstanding panelists have been added to our great list of guests and panelists. And then Holly also confirmed and passed over to me for updating several more panels and workshops that just got added today. I'll give you a quick rundown of those. We have one, The Way of Poetry, which is a workshop from Lee Pennington, you know, Kentucky Poet Laureate. I mean, we're talking, this is a very rare and exceptional workshop that alone is worth the price of coming to Imaginarium. P.L. Riven is giving a workshop on character as setting, crafting engaging and dynamic environments. Character as setting, crafting engaging and dynamic environments. And then we have Denis Caron, who's a first-time guest with us this at Imaginarium, and he has a great workshop coming called Launch Your Book the Right Way, a step-by-step strategy to crush your publishing goals. And, yeah, definitely a person who has great expertise in the self-publishing area. And then we also have, Megan Redman, who I just mentioned, has just come aboard as a panelist, who is also giving structuring stories around strong character arcs for graphic novels and webcomics workshop. Should be fantastic. And then Ethan Avery, another one of the new panelists I just mentioned, screenwriting versus prose workshop. So that's going to break down the difference between writing for the screen and writing prose, which I think a lot of people will find very, very interesting. And then we also added two new panels. One is on publishers rewriting novels. And yes, that is directly a topic we've been discussing on the Star Chamber the past few weeks, with publishers just deciding to rewrite authors' novels, even inserting new phrases, changing words. And this panel is going to discuss different viewpoints regarding this recent practice. We talked about Roald Dahl and Ian Fleming, and I will add to that list today, it came public just in the past day, R.L. Stein of Goosebumps fame. Evidently, the publisher did it to R.L. Stein as well, as far as rewriting. And R.L. Stein publicly stated that it was done without his consent or participation. So, yeah, they changed his book without his consent or participation. So, yeah, this is going to be, I think, a very good and timely and relevant panel topic and definitely needed on in our programming. And then we also have a music and songwriting panel. So we have some great songwriters coming. So we're going to have a panel discussion that's pretty much about it. You know, if you have an idea for a song or you have one written, this panel is going to discuss the creative process of songwriting and where to go once you have a completed song. So, yes, there it is, Holly. The new programming, the new panelists. Yeah, some nice updates there. So yeah, I know you looking forward to those. Yes. You're looking forward to those.
And remember,
and she's got more coming.
I was telling Stephen earlier, I only have so much room. I am going to, you know, do some evening stuff this year because I've been doing it and it's been received well. If it's not covered because, you know, I cover all genres. I try to get every single genre, even sub-genres. I try to squeeze it in there. But if it's not on a panel, it'll be covered in a workshop. So one or the other, it's in the.
Yeah.
The other. But, yeah, we've got some really cool stuff already, you know, and mm-hmm. I'll be really hitting it hard the next few weeks. And you have to keep checking that website because it's really going to be updated here in, you know, three weeks or so. And keep an eye out for next week, possibly the end of this week. We'll have to see how it goes. I'd say next week. The keep an eye out for the Imagine Award finalist.
Yeah, probably early next week, I think, with the way the pace is going right now on that. But yes, that'll be coming shortly. We also have some big announcements affecting some other areas, like as far as some new big spotlighted guests some really good boosts for the cosplay side of things coming up. So keep an eye out on the website. Got some big stuff to announce pretty shortly. So, but tonight's show is brought to you by Sandy Linder, the Genre Blender, and also the fine folks at Per Bostet Publications. So I will give you a quick overview of both of them, and we'll start with Sandy. And so check out the spot, buy her books, tell her you thank her for supporting the Star Chamber Show and creatives everywhere. So here's Sandy.
Author Sandy Linder invites you to visit her website at authorsandylinder.com to pick out a new favorite story to read this spring. You're sure to find a strong young lady, a clever vampire, a self-assured fairy, or a fabulous dragon to join on a new journey. Start your next adventure at authorsandylinder.com and make some new quest friends. Welcome to Sandy's various fantasy worlds, where some days you just want the dragon to win.
Thank you, Sandy. You're the best. And Duran Duran is headlining Bourbon and Beyond in Louisville, the big music festival. They're one of the headliners. So, yeah, maybe we'll see you in Kentucky some more often than just Imaginarium. We've got Duran Duran now. So. going over here to Per Bostet Publications. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye, David Blaze, and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia, or Private Investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico and A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events such as the Imaginarium Convention in July. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you, T. Lee Harris, Sarah Marion, and Marion Allen, what I call the literary triumvirate. Thank you very much for your support. Very much appreciate it. And, pick up some Per Bostet titles and tell them that you've heard about them on the show here. We really would appreciate that. So, yeah, coming back into the chat room here, just trying to see if we got anything to catch up on. And, it looks like they're chatting away about some of the programming announcements at Imaginarium. I don't see anything as far as updates, as far as no one has any news to pass
other
along.
Well, he was talking about we're talking about sales and stuff. Yeah, we're gossiping. Beck says we're just gossiping, which we are.
Gossiping.
But, hey, guys, we're gossiping because I'm going to add this funny little tidbit before we break him off. Every year, I do this Pampered Chef Facebook party, and it has become a yearly tradition, and it's hilarious. Steven gets in there and has more fun than anybody,
yes, I
think. We have the best time with those games, playing the games and stuff. I don't care if you don't have to order nothing, people, but come on in if you want the link, if I haven't invited you. Ask me for it. It is a ball. It starts Friday, but we play some hilarious games because the host, she puts some, and then I go find some goodies, you know. And, yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun.
Look at that. She got a Pampered Chef party promotion in there real quick. I'm gonna have to turn you over to Hotep Court. Hotep Court on the Hotep's Been Told You podcast now.
Grifting,
accuse you of grifting. I have a case, though. I do. Oh, you're the best, Holly. You're something else. that was good. The Hoteps would definitely tell you that was top notch there. But yes, we do have our guest on deck, and so I am personally excited because I have missed this guest for a long time. Absolutely adore her and think the world of her, and her talent is amazing. We're talking like true multi-talented, exceptional level talent. And she is the author of multiple novels and anthology stories, and also is an exceptional photographer whose photography was featured in the New Orleans Photo Alliance 2020 exhibition, What is French in Louisiana? And as if that's not enough, she's the founder and owner of Viridian Tea Company and a World Tea Academy certified tea specialist. So out of the fine state of Colorado, my birth state, I might add, welcoming to the show for the first time in a long while, and I am so excited to bring aboard the wonderful Kimberly Richardson. And Kimberly, your mic is on, and hopefully you're there.
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
There you are.
We sure can.
Yes. How are you?
Loud and clear.
Yes.
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
Oh, missed you dearly. I swear I've missed you so much. I am so glad you could do the show tonight. I'm so glad that we got electricity back so we could. So it's all worked out this week. We have you.
It
we
did.
Have electricity.
It
it's already, yeah, we're already ahead of the game. But, yeah, just really glad to be able to catch up in person with you because it's been a while since I've gotten to see you in person, and I know you and Holly stay in touch quite a bit, but going to be great tonight to talk everything from writing to your amazing tea company to your photography. I mean, it's this is the kind of visit that gets fun. So tell it. How have you been? How have you been?
Oh my gosh. You know, since I moved out here to Colorado over 2 years ago, it's like my life has ramped up. Because in moving from Memphis to New Orleans, I was like, okay, this is where I want to be. I'm happy to be here. And COVID happened and I was like, what is this? Oh my God.
No.
In all of my years of being in New Orleans, that was the first time I'd ever driven through the quarter and saw no one. And it was a very eerie feeling.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I said it's a very weird feeling.
Yeah, it was. And I'll never forget, I would drive into the quarter and I would throw a mask on and I would just run around and take pictures. And there were a couple of other photographers too. And there was one gentleman who was like, yeah, I just want to record what I'm seeing here because one day it's going to come back to normal. And when we look at these pictures, we're not going to believe that all of this happened. So I tried to make the most of New Orleans. And then strangest thing happened. I got this invitation to come out to Colorado. And I was like, I don't know anything about Colorado except there's marijuana and hipsters and beer. That's all I'm in the Rocky Mountains. And so I came out to visit and I ended up getting sick, but I came out to visit and I was like, wow, this is not what I expected. Everybody's so laid back. Everybody's so, you know, we don't care what you do, just don't hurt anybody. And when I came back to New Orleans, I was like, wow, I'm really kind of missing that feeling. Well, then I received an invitation to move out here. And I thought, you know, Sydney or the bush, do it. And I haven't looked back. And since then, I have fully embraced Colorado as my home. And, you know, I do have to tell you a stupid story. Okay, so when it dawned on me that I'm actually cracking up now. Excuse me. When I found out that Coors was made 30 minutes away from me, I was the biggest idiot dancing through my boyfriend's house. I was like, oh, my God, we're close to Coors. And he's like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Coors beer. And I'm like, but you don't understand. So my boyfriend and I live in South Metro of Denver, and Golden is about 30 minutes away from us. So every time I would go to Golden for a farmer's market, I would just smile at the factory, and I'm like, yes, hello, Coors, hello, keep making that magic. So, I just, but anyway,
they
that
have
has nothing to do with
cans,
tea.
Kimberly. They have
what?
The best cans. They have the best cans because, you know, the mountains turn colors to tell you it's cold enough to drink.
Well, Kimberly, I am going to share with you a story
from
my.
Wait a minute. Did you know that, Kim? Did you know
no,
that?
I didn't. No, I didn't.
Okay. When you get a can of Coors, the mountains will be lit up. The snow will be blue if it's, you know, cold enough to drink. If it starts to get warm, you leave them, like, sit out, not refrigerated. They're like silver.
I know what I'm buying this weekend.
I kid you not. You can look it up Google it. It is hilarious, and I just think it's the coolest thing ever.
Well,
wow.
I want to share a Coors story with Kimberly, and this is one
okay.
Holly may not even know that ties into Colorado and Coors. And when I was a toddler, and I was actually born in Denver, believe it or not, associated with Kentucky and love, of course, Kentucky's top in my heart, but I was born in Denver. And when I was a toddler, my first beer was Coors. And why do I say that? Because I was at my great aunt's house, and she was, elderly enough that she didn't have quite all her faculties. And I had toddled out to the kitchen with her, and she had opened the refrigerator, and I asked her for that, and I had pointed at a can of Coors that she had in her refrigerator, and so she just handed me it. And so I walked out back into the area where my dad was, and they said the look on his face was priceless, and he immediately said, Stevie, I need a sip of that. And so as the story goes, my dad took the can from me and proceeded to literally drink the entire can and then handed it back to me. so I didn't get too disappointed. But obviously he had to make sure I didn't chug a can of beer at the age of like two. So it was like, I my first beer technically was Coors. I actually can say that.
More than mountains
in Colorado. In Colorado,
George,
yes.
Hey, Stephen, were the mountains blue?
They didn't have those cans. No, I remember the cans back then. They were like a kind of like a gold, a kind of a goldish color, the old school Coors cans.
I remember those till they come up with the bougie ones.
Yeah, the old school Coors cans were kind of like a goldish kind of color. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, that was it. But yeah, Coors, definitely associate. I will always associate that with Colorado for sure. But great state, and I have dear friends there. You're there now. Another friend has a cryptocurrency channel on YouTube named Michael, who's got a great channel out there on YouTube, and he's a he's a cool guy. Yeah, so many wonderful people in Colorado, and it seems like that would be a good state for you, Kimberly, because of your, you know, multifaceted pursuits. You know, with your, you know, writing, your photography, your tea. It seems like that it's the right kind of arts community to be in for what you do. I would think. Have you found that
actually,
to be true?
Very much so. Like I said, I've only been here over 2 years, but I have met so many different authors, so many different tea companies, a lot of Buddhist people, a lot of people who are just open-minded, creative, and like I said, everybody here is of the opinion where as long as you don't hurt anybody, just go enjoy your life, and I love that. If anybody had told me years ago that I was going to end up here, I would have been like, no, because I'm supposed to be in New Orleans. And now that I look back, it's like, wow, Colorado and I fit really well. So, but yeah, and in being here, the tea company has grown, and the writing has grown, which I have to talk to you guys about my latest writing project, but I'll do that in just a minute. And I also returned to playing the violin. My wonderful violin teacher, Nadia, who is currently with her newborn baby, was a delight for me in terms of returning, because I thought, you know, wow, you know, is it too late for me? You know, I have crippling anxiety when it comes to the violin, because I'm never going to be, you know, like Vivaldi or anything like that. But she just had that same laid-back attitude. She's like, do you want to learn the fiddle or do you want to learn classical violin? And I said, well, classical. And she's like, we can do this. And now because of her, I can pick it up and I can play like 5 or 6 songs, which the latest song I'm teaching myself right now is the Imperial March. It's actually kind of hard.
Nice.
Nice.
But, yeah, but yeah. I printed off a sample of the sheet music and I said, okay, I know how to read music. Let me just try. And so far, I'm able to play like the first part of it. The rest of it, I'm like, ooh, that's going to have to wait. So, but yeah, just coming out here, my creativity has flourished and I'm truly, truly grateful. I do have to say there is a book that's coming out through my publisher, Pro Se Productions, and it's a murder mystery, and it deals with a fictitious version of a store that I used to work in a couple of years ago, Crate and Barrel. And I kept telling my coworkers and my boss, I thought, you know, this would be a great place to, like, have a murder. And they're like, we know you're a writer, so we're not really scared that you just said that. But I cranked out this murder mystery set in, like, a Crate and Barrel store. And as I know it's supposed to be coming out later this year, but I used some of my coworkers and my boss and one of my coworkers who's now the manager of the back of house was like, as soon as this book comes out, I want to read it because I want to know how you killed me. And I was like, oh, I stabbed you in the back a lot and once in the face. And he's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And I'm like, wow, welcome to my world. This is amazing. But tea company-wise, you know, just still plugging along with that. Because of recent events where I've been a vendor, I posted on social media that I had to shut the store down because my inventory was so low. But I love the look on people's faces out here when I tell them about the tea company. So for those of you who are listening who have never heard of my company, so my tea blends is about over 50 right now, and they're all inspired by books. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm blending a lot. But all the blends are inspired by books, art, music, and science. And people kind of look at me and they're like, how do you do that? And I said, well, okay, suppose I'm reading a particular book and I start getting the feel of the book or a particular character in the book. Then I literally can see the ingredients coming together that would represent said book or said character. And awesome. Pretty much every time I've made that blend and then drank it while reading the book, I've hit it right on the head. One of my blends is inspired by whenever I play my violin, Frederica. And as soon as I open up a sample bag and I let the customer smell it, they're like, wow, that's like a violin. I was like, yeah, yes, it is. I have a lot on my plate, but I don't regret any of it. Like, I walked away from my job in finances several years ago, I said, you know what? I want to make this my life. I want to be a small business owner. I want to live a life of chatto or the way of tea. I want to write, and I want to be me. And I do not regret making that decision. I really don't.
No, I could relate because, I mean, I could, like I've talked to Holly, I mean, I could have made a lot more money by going into, you know, like working for a TV station years ago or things like that. But I purposely, you know, done what I do. It's been harder. I mean, far as like paying the bills and all doing, you know, the independent route. But it's, I found it far more rewarding because, you know, I'm doing work that I'm passionate about as opposed to, you know, just doing something for a paycheck. So I can relate. Yeah. 100% to what you did when you stepped away. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
No, I said absolutely. No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I was just going to say that, so I forgot the latest endeavor that I'm doing is a YouTube channel called Viridian Tea House. And it just kind of started over a year ago where I just recorded myself talking about tea. And I didn't know what I was doing. And then I stopped and I said, okay, wait a minute. Review books, but not just any books. Review indie author books. Review those books. Make that really the focus. And then when you talk about tea, the same thing. Reach out to tea companies, try their blends, and also drink my own blends and talk about the story behind it. And now I think I've done like 70 videos, but I love doing this. I love meeting authors at different conventions or through word of mouth. I love trying out new tea companies, and I never have anything scripted. Like, it's just completely raw, and I make mistakes and all that kind of stuff. I want to give my support to all the indie authors, all the tea companies, and just show some support, you know? That's just like the other day when I reached out to you guys about, you know, which books should I start reading? You know, I think that the books that y'all put out are incredible. And it's like, yeah, how come I'm not reading more of their books? So go ahead and start now. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to delving more into your publishing house and just reading your books and adding it to books to be reviewed because you guys are amazing, and I just want to show my support for y'all. I really do.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly.
And I confess, I did not know you had a YouTube channel. I mean, not like you aren't doing like 40 different things, but I need to subscribe and catch up in a hurry. I'm going to do that. I'm going to check out your channel and subscribe and definitely catch up on that because I find the world of tea blends fascinating. I know Holly can talk your language more than I can. I mean, like I said, I could talk bourbons maybe, but it's I don't know the tea lingo, but it's but I know Holly can. But I do find it really fascinating and yeah, come across a lot of interesting stuff when researching for my books. Come across tea all the time, and yeah, it's such a neat thing. And I remember when you started. I mean, I remember when you first started doing it. I found it just so cool that you were starting out, you know, just getting a few blends at the time, and now it's yeah, you know, what you said, 50 now, and it's like wow. I mean, you've really achieved a lot, and a lot of folks believe me. I got messages about this today. People, you know, actually bothered to read the promo note I put out, and they were all like curious about a World Tea Academy certified tea specialist. They all were like, thought that was really cool. So I was curious even about that. Yeah, that is neat. Because I didn't know that you were that as well. So it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, you know,
awesome.
for anyone who is interested, there are several different tea academies all over the world. The one that I went to, quote-unquote, because it was all online, it's the World Tea Academy, and they start you off by becoming certified as a tea specialist. And then from there, you can become, excuse me, a tea professional or a tea sommelier, which is actually what I'm saving up to get certified next as. It's kind of the same thing as a wine sommelier, but apparently there's very much a demand for tea sommeliers, and I thought, you know, I really would like to just delve into that more. There's an academy in Canada, there's one in the UK, and there's a ton of others. But I tell people about being certified, and it's like, yeah, I mean, if you want to know more than Lipton, check out one of these academies, because you will come out of it 2 years later really knowing that there's more to tea than just putting leaves in hot water. I remember there were some classes that dealt with what kind of water to use, what's the temperature, how to use certain kinds of teaware, the different kinds of black or pu'er or green or what have you. And then during sensory evaluations, which whenever I used to do conventions and I would do tea workshops, I would allow the other the participants to go through an evaluation. It's like, you're going to get to go through what I went through. You're never going to look at tea the same way again after this. And so now I'm supposed to be teaching more classes with one of my friend's stores in Littleton, probably in April or May. I'm not sure. We haven't gotten the dates together. But it really is, it's a fascinating subject. It really, truly is. And I remember how one person stated that tea was nothing but tepid salad water. And I just kind of thought, it's like, you do realize tea is the second most consumed beverage on the planet. But, yeah, according to him, it was tepid salad water. And what's funny is that I got really angry about that. And then I put that in almost every book I ever wrote where there's a character that says that. I'm like, this is my revenge. Yes. Disbeliever, you know. So, I'm just a little bit protective of the tea. Yeah.
Oh, I don't blame you.
Yeah. Stephen knows I drink iced tea every day in my life. That's enormous. Mm-hmm. But I love all the hot teas, you know. So, but you know me, I love the herbal teas and the mixtures, the healing with the echinacea and the extra vitamin C and, you know, the elderberries and, you know, things like that, and the calming, like your lavender and chamomiles. And then as far as, like, enjoyment, just to drink, you know, I love chai. Oh, I am a huge chai tea fan. And then we have this one. I'll have to take a picture of it and send it to you because it is in Chinese. Let me tell you how this happened now. Me and Steve befriended the manager of our favorite little sushi restaurant, Sumo 2, down the road from us. He was from China, and his wife and two little children had to go back to China because her work visa expired, and he had been working 2 years trying to get her back here and was having difficulty with COVID happening and everything else, and they just kept denying her claim, which was insane because he was an American citizen. He grew up here. You know, he came here as a child. So he gave us two little things of tea, and it's loose, and we haven't drank it yet. I'm going to, but it's loose tea.
Special occasions.
You know, you have to put it in China. And he said it is the most amazing tea that we will ever drink. And it's in these little black bag-like sealed, you know. But I'll have to send you a picture of it. Like I said, we haven't tried it yet, but we're going to. But it's a hot tea. But, yeah, the way he made it sound, I said, is it an oolong? And he said, no, it was actually a lot better than an oolong. And I'm like, well, then that has to be good.
Yeah.
Because I do love oolong. You know, he was shocked when he knew what an oolong tea was. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know my teas. But, yeah, not like you, God, no, but, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll have to send you a picture of this. You'll find it fascinating.
Yeah, super good guy. And I'm glad to say that he has since been able to go back to China to reunite with his wife and kids. So he was able to do that finally. It was a real ordeal for him. And good guy. Just really liked him a lot. But, yeah, we do have a some kind of exotic tea. And Kimberly probably will know everything about it. But, but
yeah,
to us, it's very
what
exotic.
It is, what it says and all that. I have no clue.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. But tea is,
but
yeah,
funny,
I'm fascinated.
Story.
And I think Holly definitely can, would, I can see Holly going down the tea rabbit hole. And, yeah, that's cool. It's, I figured it was second most consumed beverage in the world after Kentucky bourbon.
Easy.
Yeah, I figured that for sure. But, but Holly, yeah, Holly could go down that rabbit hole for sure. I guarantee you she could really get into tea. I can see it totally because she, like, when I'm not feeling right, you know, she'll bring out a certain tea for me. And I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. It really does. It helps me.
I've got a
tea. All kinds of stuff.
If somebody's getting sick, I've got a tea or an essential oil for you. Here you go. Smell this. Rub this on. Here you go. All is well. That's what I did to my kids growing up. They were like, my mother was a nurse. She wouldn't take us to the doctor. She just let us die first. It was, I was, here's the essential oils. Here's the teas. You know, I'm going to load you up on the echinacea teas and all the good stuff. The zinc and all that. Yeah. But it works. Hey, it works.
But it's gone well. It's gone well for you, though. I mean, you've developed quite a line of teas, and I don't know the tea world so well. I mean, do you enter special competitions, or are there certain places where you can get recognized for your teas, and have you done a lot of stuff there? I mean, as far as that goes,
not really. I know of different competitions, but I've just kind of steered clear of that. My teas are just, I just enjoy blending them, and I love getting inspired to create said blend. Like when I talked about, some of my blends are inspired by science. So I'm very much a science nerd, and I've got a quantum mechanics blend and a astrophysics blend and a 523.1 science blend, which is actually the call number of a book that I think it's by Stephen Hawking that my boyfriend loves. So things like that. And then moving on to, what is it? I am going to be making a blend after the pi number, the 3.14, blah, 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 blah.
Cool.
I'm going to try and release it on the 14th, but I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, it's more for all of my blending is to connect with people. That's what I'm all about. And even more so since I moved out here, that people here, they really want to get to know you. They really want to talk with you. And my tea blends are a way to do that. Because sometimes I'll get all introverted and I don't really want to talk to people. And I just want to sit in my office and play World of Warcraft. And then other days I'm out and I'm just like, hey, have you tried this? Are you into that? And when the customer says, no, I really don't know a lot. And I'm like, hey, look, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Ask away. And if I don't know it, I can look it up. That's what it means for me. I want people to have an experience with my tea blends. In fact, I'm currently on a path of converting to Judaism. And I'm going to be making a tea blend where part of the proceeds will be given to the JCC that's here in Denver. And when I was talking with the individual who later gave me a tour of the center, I said, I just want to give. I just want to, again, deal with that connection between myself and this faith of mine, or just myself and other people. And just show, hey, look, we're not alone, let's all just sit around with a cup of tea and just talk. You know, it can be about anything. It can be about what did you have for breakfast? What book are you reading right now? But over a cup of tea, it just seems to kind of make it so much better. And now I'm getting off my soapbox.
No, please.
No,
yeah, I love it. I'm listening.
Well, this is great. Well, thank you. But yeah, I've gone through just a little personal. I've gone through a lot of changes since moving out here, and I have shed a lot of what was bad for me. And I'm looking around going, okay, so let me focus on me a little bit more, and let me focus as to what kind of person is Kimberly B. Richardson. And so far, the results have been really surprising, you know, just discovering things about myself and discovering my love of tea and discovering my love of the written word and playing the violin and playing World of Warcraft, you know, all of it. So the tea and the blends really kind of show this, not really a new Kimberly, but a Kimberly who's just coming home and just centering herself. I do a lot of meditation, and that kind of shows with the YouTube channel and also through some of my tea blends. But it's just the feeling of, you know, it's okay to feel weird. It's okay to be shy. It's okay. Have a cup of tea. Talk to me about it. So, yeah, I just feel that way now, you know?
Absolutely. And, yeah, Holly, I can see you becoming – Kimberly's Padawan in the tea path here. Yeah, I can totally.
We have talked about years ago, we had talked about doing some kind of holistic Holly E. Kimberly blend. You talked to me about that years ago. I don't even know if you remember that. It was like when you first started in this, and I'm like, okay. And then we both got busy with other things and this never did it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we may need to revisit that at some point. That would be really cool.
Well, you know what? I'm deadly serious about that. If you're up for it, I'm up for it. Truly.
Awesome.
That'd be so fun. Oh, man,
yeah.
But it's I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad you're still playing World of Warcraft, because I remember you having a passion for that, so that is cool.
You know, my boyfriend and I have this thing where when we're having our breakfast, I'll give him the Azerothian news, and I'll tell him, I'm like, I know you're rolling your eyes at me, but just listen to me for a few minutes. He's like, no, this is really interesting. And I'm like, oh, don't flatter me. So, and then I'll talk about like, well, my character's doing this and I'm doing this. I will say for the record, I have not purchased the new expansion Dragonflight yet, but that's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks. And when that happens, I want like Taco Bell and nobody bothering me. And I want to connect my laptop to my boyfriend's flat screen TV upstairs and just be like, honey, just be quiet. Just let me play. Just let me play. But I love World of Warcraft. I love it. I have most of the soundtracks. I love the story. I have not gotten tired of it. And I actually my boyfriend wanted a character in Azeroth translation. I did it for him, and I tell him, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you killed all those pirates, and then you killed that zombie, and, oh, my God, I think you only died like 5 times. And he's like, oh, well, that's good. I'm like, aren't you happy about this? He loves me. He really does.
Oh, that is awesome. Oh, that is great.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Okay, one more thing, and then I swear I'm going to shut up. So I was talking about...
You're the guest. You can talk all you want.
You guys are great. I've missed y'all. You know that? So
we missed you.
Well, thanks. So I was talking about my latest writing project. So there's a little background story behind it. I am somewhat obsessed and fascinated with Napoleon Bonaparte. And I have taken like little classes about him, and I've read some stories about him. I attended an online lecture through the Linnaean Society in the UK talking about the exiled island of St. Helena and its most famous occupant, Napoleon Bonaparte, and how he was a gardener. Well, when I lived in New Orleans, I don't know if y'all know this, but in one of the museums, there's a huge painting of him as emperor. And then there's also one of his death masks in a glass box. They only made like six of them, but New Orleans has one. And so I would actually go to that museum, and I'll never forget, every time I would get a ticket, the lady behind the counter would be like, oh, you know, do you need a map? And I was like, ma'am, I'm just here for the death mask. And she's like, oh, well, you don't have to pay. I'm like, no, I'm going to pay because it's worth it. Even if I just stare at him for 5 minutes, I told y'all I'm a little bit obsessed with him. So I never forget, I was kind of driving around and I got this idea in my head for a story, and I thought, can I really do this? And I thought, I would love to do it, but nah. And then when I moved out to Colorado, I kind of dropped it and I worked on other books. So I ended up, what was it? I was working on a psychological thriller. And as soon as I finished it, I was like, okay, I'm going to get back to this murder mystery because, I'm going to hand it to my publisher. And then I started working on unnamed Napoleonic novel by Kimberly B. Richardson. And I thought, okay, I guess we're going to work on this story idea. And as of like 30, before I called you guys, I'm over 72,000 words, about 100 and something pages, and I know it's going to be a lot more than that. So basically, the story idea is this. Excuse me. What if Napoleon Bonaparte isn't dead? And what if he gets turned into a vampire who is living in New Orleans and controls a third of the United States? Right under our very noses.
Well, there's an on March of Richardson.
Well,
I just added another one.
Well, and so I started with that basic idea, and I was like, okay, I'm going to, it's about this. It's going to be told from the perspective of this black woman who is an author, kind of sounds like me. Okay, she is me. And she's moving to New Orleans, and then bam. And now it has expanded into family wars. There's a gentleman who is going to perform an Inquisition-style torture on several of the vampires in New Orleans. There's a coven of witches called the Salt Sirens who protect the Gulf of Mexico that work with Napoleon Bonaparte. Even the governor of Louisiana is like, he's our biggest benefactor. I'm not going to do anything to hurt him. So it has just expanded and expanded, and it's to the point now where I go to bed and he pops up in my head, and I'm replaying scenes from the manuscript, and I'm like, okay, well, don't do this, but do this, but what about this? And sometimes I've like woken up being like, oh my God, I just figured out what was wrong with that. And then I'll run downstairs and I'll type it out. But yeah, this book has been quite an adventure, and I cannot wait for it to come out, but I'm still writing it. Like I keep coming up with new ideas and new characters. And I'm like, I've never written anything like this before. I mean, Stephen, have you ever written a book where it almost just kind of controls you, or you just can't stop working on it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Can relate to that. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So, yeah, definitely. I know that feeling well. No, I do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You know, I've got like 17 books out now, some published through my publisher and others self-published. and I've enjoyed writing all of them. I really have. This one feels different, and it's kind of hard to put it into words, except I wish somebody can, like, crawl into my head, because they'd be like, oh, now I get what you mean. But it literally feels different. Like, when I actually sat down and I just started writing it, it was like the words were coming out of my fingers, and I couldn't type fast enough. It was very much like that, and it still continues to be like that.
That is cool. And, because you, one of the things that I've always noticed about you, and it actually, kind of crossed paths with my writing in terms of, you've never hesitated to write a story in a different genre. I mean, you've got quite a few different genres in your body of work. And once you challenged me to write a steampunk short story, which got me to try a genre I'd never written in before and enjoyed immensely, and ended up writing a few stories in that genre with those characters. We can relate there, but it's, you've always been the kind of storyteller that, you're focused on the story. And whatever genre it happens to fall in, it happens to fall in. I've always loved that about your writing approach.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I can honestly say I've never written a book that dealt with vampires. You know, werewolves, murder mysteries, deranged family members, all that kind of stuff. This one feels different. The tentative title is The Blood Emperor. It may change, but I talked with my publisher about it, and she and I both agreed on that title. So it's probably going to be The Blood Emperor. I thought at first that it was going to be a trilogy, but it's just going to be one novel. But I can't promise anything, honestly. I recently applied for a National Endowment of the Arts grant toward writing this book, and if I happen to get it, I really wanted to use the money to go to France and to go back to New Orleans and really do some research, but specifically with France, to go to Paris to see his tomb and to get that feeling. I mean, it's one thing to see his death mask, but I really want to see his tomb. But for right now, I'm enjoying writing it. I do write little short stories on the side for my blog. It's Eccentric Tea Woman. But this book has taken up my life for the past couple of months, and it might be another 3 or 4 months before I'm actually done with it, or not. It may be longer, but I'm, in a weird way, like, I'm kind of grateful to write about this gentleman. I know that a lot of people think of him as insane, or, he was a tyrant, or he was a monster, and I'm showing all of that in him being a vampire, but there's also a very human side to him as well. And especially dealing with this new love interest, you really see him as a loving, feeling human who just happens to drink blood, but he truly, truly loves this woman. And I even kind of threw in a little sting against Josephine, where the main female character is kind of asking about her, and he's like, oh, let me tell you what I really thought about her, but I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I cannot wait for my publisher to read it, and I cannot wait for people to read the book and either love it or hate it or be like, wow, you are really messed up. And I'll be like, thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, this sounds like a fun book. Because I view Napoleon as a multifaceted character. I've studied him enough to see different sides to him. Like you said, some people just view him as the, military conqueror, the emperor, the tyrants, or whatever term you want to use. But it's Yeah, but there's also another side where, you know, like especially post-revolution, you know, where he was, you know, very much, you know, had a lot of brought a lot of reform and stability and really, you know, actually did a lot of good things, even, you know, in terms of France before, you know, things got, you know, really messy with, you know, some of the wars that happened. So, yeah, there's a lot of sides you can look at him from. And, yeah, he's a very complex character and very interesting. So I'm gonna be very curious to see what you do with him. You know, as far as a vampire, and that's great. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah,
speak my language.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
He's
fascinating.
Yes, he is. And well, like I just said again, you know, I've a lot of my books have fictitious characters in them. This is the first time I've actually dealt with a character that, you know, used to exist. So I want to give him fair credit and fair due. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I could honestly just talk about him for days on end. But I will not bore my lovely host and hostess. And I will instead say that I thank you again for having me on y'all's show. Thank you so much. This has been just absolutely wonderful.
Oh yeah. We've been really looking forward to this since Holly said you could join us and me personally, for sure. It's been a while.
Excited.
Yeah. You got to join us on the virtual Imaginarium that we had during the COVID, you know, the main COVID year back in 2020, I believe it was. And that's I think the last time that we got to see you in a way. But yeah, it's been a few years since we caught up in person. So yeah, this is great. Yeah, for
yes,
me
it's
personally.
It's been too long.
Yeah, been way too long. And I'm glad that I love hearing that you have literary projects you have going on with this Napoleon book and you know, your murder mystery. And I was curious to see what kind of literary work you were doing. Cause like I said, everything you do is something different and, you know, it's not like, you know, somebody that's just a strict genre writer where you kind of know, you know, generally what kind of area their next project's going to be in. I mean, with you, it's a surprise. So that's kind of fun. Thanks for revealing some of that stuff with us as far as your works in progress. And I don't want to overlook your photography too, because you're surrounded by incredible scenery there in the Rockies. And I know that New Orleans, you know, has its own atmosphere for photography, but I'm sure being among the Rocky Mountain kind of environment, I'm sure you have a lot to explore there too, photography wise.
Very much so, yes. I like to joke that my boyfriend is part mountain goat because I've never seen anybody scale a trail like he does. I'm like, you must be part mountain goat. He's like, oh, I'm just wiry. But it has, so far we've gone to a couple of parks. We've gone up half a mountain. I can't remember the name of the mountain. It wasn't a 14er. We've gone to Garden of the Gods down in Colorado Springs and just kind of going to different dog parks. You know, the scenery is just incredible. And especially we are very much in our snow season. So as soon as we walk out of our house, we can see the mountains and we can see the snow literally coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken some great pictures of rock formations and rivers and streams and my boyfriend's dog rolling around in the snow. So it's a lot to photograph. I will say that I really got into photography when I was back in Memphis. There's a historical cemetery there called Elmwood. And one night they offered all the photographers to come out during closing hours and just enjoy taking photos. And as I was doing that, I thought, wow, this is really nice. I'm really enjoying this. Well, from there, I ended up being their photographer in residence in 2015, where I had to spend a year and take photographs and show the changing of the seasons in the cemetery. And from there, I just got a love of walking through a cemetery and taking photographs. I haven't been in a cemetery since being in Colorado, but we were recently in Oklahoma visiting my boyfriend's relatives. And I think I have like cemetery radar because we were driving somewhere and I was like, oh, tombstones, we have to go in. And he drove me around and I took some photographs. But I would have to say that my true love, I love nature photography, but my true love is cemetery photography. I could spend hours just walking through a graveyard and taking photos.
Me too.
Oh. Actually, I have a quick story, and I swear this truly happened. So when I was living back in New Orleans, I would go to Biloxi and Gulfport because it wasn't too far from where I lived.
Yes,
and there was one
Gulfport,
my
favorite place in the world.
Yes. I went there for a writing weekend. You know, I brought my laptop and I was like, all right, I'm going to write and I'm just going to drive around, stuff like that. Well, I ended up going to Pass Christian. Never been there before, but it's the cutest little town. I highly recommend it. And I saw that they had a very old cemetery. So I was like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to walk around. So I walked around and I took photographs and I noticed that I couldn't get back to my car. Like every time I started to walk toward my car, it felt like something was kind of grabbing me and going, but did you look over here? And did you look over here? And look at this statue. And don't you want to just kind of stay here a little bit longer? And I was like, well, I'm just going to take a few more pictures. And I took more and more. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm really hungry. I want to get back to the hotel. And I got in my car, and even trying to leave the cemetery, I got out again because I was taking more photos. I swore up and down. It was like the cemetery or the inhabitants were trying to just kind of keep me there for a little while. It may sound strange, but it was just like, okay, I really want to go home. Can you please let me go? It was just, like I said, it was the oddest feeling. It truly was. And
get a lot of visitors and you were a company for them and they just didn't want to see you go.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't malevolent. It wasn't evil, nothing like that. It was just like, wow, you know, she's respecting us. She's respecting our area. And I remember, too, when I got back into my hotel room, I cranked out a short story involving a woman meeting a werewolf in a cemetery at night. Like, it just came out of me, and I was like, that was probably because of the cemetery. It was. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay, you get it, right?
I totally get it. 100%. I'm clairvoyant, so I totally get it. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, one other story. I have all these stories. Like, I don't want to stop this conversation. Like, I could just keep telling you all this stuff, but.
You keep going because we roll till 10:30, so you've got plenty of time. You tell your story.
It was one time when I was back in Memphis and I was driving around Elmwood. Elmwood, if you've never been, has about 75 to 80,000 residents. That's what they call them. And I was just kind of driving around and, you know, trying to figure out where to take photos. And I stopped because there was this blood red fox that was kind of walking through the tombstones. And then it stopped, and I stopped, and we just looked at each other. And it was the oddest feeling because I felt like the fox was kind of making sure that I was okay. And then when it realized that I wasn't going to harm the cemetery, it just kind of looked at me and kind of threw this thought out like, you pass. And I kind of broke the eye contact, and I kept driving, and I was like, okay, that was interesting. And two, after that, never saw the fox again. but I had never seen a fox that blood red before. And it just had this thing about it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Shapeshifter.
So, what'd you say?
You never know. She's
a shapeshifter.
You know, I'll That's tell you awesome. Something. That was the first thought that kind of crossed my mind. I was like, I wonder if this is probably. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I am quite sensitive to things like that.
That's great.
Yeah, me too. And especially with the animal life, too. But yeah, I totally, that's what that, I believe in anything until it's proven that it's not true. I mean, that's what I said. I would love to see a fairy. I would love. That's like my lifelong goal is to see one. There's people that claim they do. People that I know that I trust and know aren't cuckoo as me. And you know, and they tell me they see. So you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, that takes the cake because I would love to, you know. So that's what I said. Until it's something is proven beyond a shadow of doubt that it, mm-hmm. it isn't real, I really believe in anything because anything's possible. I mean, my God, look what we've seen this year. We've shot down UFOs. We've, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, we've had the COVID epidemic past couple years, you know, the apocalypse mm-hmm. among us. We got the division, you know, that's occurring in the country. I mean, there's just so much going on, possibly World War III coming. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it's like nothing surprises me anymore. So I'm like, bring it on, you know. I'm waiting for the alien invasion. I've got my tinfoil hat on. When we were shooting down these UFOs, I'm like, Steve. He's like, Holly, your dreams have come true. I said, yes, I'm getting aliens. Yes.
Nice.
Finally.
Nice.
About. But there's something to it. I mean, because lately I've been doing a lot of deep dives into Mesoamerican cultures and history and looking into all the shape-shifting lore with the you know, the medicine men shamans down there. And yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, taken very seriously and definitely not in terms of fiction or myth. I mean, but actual, you know, that's what was taking place kind of vibe. And so, yeah, when it comes to stuff like that, yeah, shape-shifting and all, I keep an open mind. Yeah, so you never know, Kimberly. You might have seen something unique there. Yeah, especially for you, the goth librarian. They would show up for you. They would.
Well, then in that case, I'm taking the gloves off now. So a lot of stuff, both of y'all are just like, yes. So a lot of things happened to me when I was in New Orleans. There was one in particular. So it was like afternoon and I was sitting in front of the cathedral and I was just kind of enjoying the quiet. And then all of a sudden my scenery changed. And it was nighttime, and there were cobblestones, and I remember the cobblestones were wet, and there was a carriage that was racing by me, and in the back, a building was on fire, and I remember hearing, I knew it was a woman's voice, but she was either screaming or singing in Creole, and then as soon as I acknowledged it, then it just went away. And I was back in front of the cathedral, and I just kind of went, oh, my God, this city. Oh, my God. There's an instance where there's a particular alleyway that's near the Café du Monde on Decatur, and there's an old fountain with a bronze statue of a girl, and she's sitting on the edge of it. And I would walk by it, you know, never didn't think anything about it. Until one day I was across the street and I walked by and my peripheral vision caught the statue turning her head to watch me walk. And I went, what? And I stopped and I backed up and I stared at the statue and I swear upon a stack of books – her head had turned and stayed there. It was the barest hint of a turn, but I looked at that and I was like, her head turned. And I remember I told my roommate, and she just kind of went, well, duh. I was like, okay. She didn't think, oh, all right, sure. Let's see here. Please let me know if this is too weird for you guys, because I can stop telling you these stories.
Stephen Lift is weird.
We love it.
All kinds of
you guys are great.
We love it.
Let's see what else. Here's one. Okay. So let me just start by saying that I pretty much believe in a lot of different things because I've been exposed to a lot of different things. Many years ago, I was sitting in my living room, just kind of minding my own business. And then all of a sudden, there was an image that was superimposed in front of me. And it was a forest with a fog rolling in. And all the trees were very skinny and very tall. And then I started to hear this yelling. And it sounded, it wasn't a person in pain, but it sounded like a group of people. And then it hit me. They were warriors, and they were screaming as they were going into battle. And I remember I felt a presence to my right. And at first I only saw that they were wearing black. And then I remember kind of turning a little bit, and it was a very tall woman wearing a black hood. And the first thought in my head was, that's the Mordigan. And so other stuff kind of happened because of that. But I told a couple of friends of mine about that, and they were all like, you do realize? I'm like, yes, I know. I wasn't dreaming that. They're like, yeah, because that's actually a location in Ireland or something. But yeah, I have had many, many contacts with the Mordigan, and which, interestingly enough, in coming out west, I haven't really felt her in a while, but back in the south, it happened a lot. Now, the interesting thing is I've recently joined a death positive group. For those of you who don't know who are listening, the death positive movement, one of the biggest organizations that deals with that is the Order of the Good Death, where they have death cafes and they talk about death not as some creepy, kooky thing, but as a cycle of life.
Oh, my God. Why did I not know about this? I want to join.
Yeah. I think they're on Instagram. They have a Facebook page, but it's called Order of the Good Death. And the founder is a former mortician. And like I said, it's a very positive, well, I mean, death positive, but it's a very positive feeling. About a year ago, I found out about a death cafe here in Denver. And I started going to the meetings, and it's led by a death doula. And we spend an hour and a half, and we just talk about death. Yeah.
Wow.
So when I went to the first meeting, I told them about, you know, who I was and where I came from. And I told them about Mordigan, and they were all like, wow. I was like, yeah. And now every hair is rising on my arm. So, yeah, okay. But, yeah, it's dealing with the Mordigan and the things that I saw in New Orleans, I refuse to close myself off. Let me just say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
understand.
I've told Steve has a terrible aversion to death, and mine's the exact opposite. I see it because, you know, I was a nurse for over two decades, and and I have helped a lot of people move on. I've been with them as they have passed, and, you know, I've been the only person with a few that have passed, and then I've had to, you know, take care of them after they had passed and all of that. And I mean, to me, it's a part of life. I don't see it as an end, obviously, because I'm positive 20%, you know, that there is an afterlife. I know that. And I see it as just a new beginning. It's not an end. I mean, you lose the meat sack, but, you know, your soul is everlasting and eternal. You're just, and we are all made of energy. Once energy is created, it cannot be destroyed, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
So you move on. You move on to a different, you know, you're starting something anew. And I think it can be a beautiful experience. I don't see it as something bad. And I don't understand why. I mean, I know grief because we're human. And, of course, we're selfish and we don't want nobody to leave us. And
mm-hmm.
grief and everything, it's terrible. But death is a part of natural life. And none of us are getting out of here alive. None of us. So, you know, it's something you have to come to terms with. And, yeah, I did not know there was a group out there that, so, yeah, I will definitely, thank you so much. I mean, yeah, the universe works in mysterious ways. And, yeah, that was awesome that you happened to think of telling us about that, because I've done pulled it up on my laptop here, so as soon as we're done, I'm going to be diving down that rabbit hole.
Well, in my defense, yeah, I'm going to I'd love to sit down and have tea with Kimberly and Holly, and I will go into detail about why I have some problems with death, and I have a very, someone might say, complex theological basis for that, but yeah, it's not as simple as Holly said. Yes, calls it an aversion, but yeah, I definitely would love to have a chat sometime about it. But yeah, we wouldn't be able to cover that in the last 8 minutes here. it is an expensive thing. Yeah, but yeah, Holly and I have talked a little bit about that, to say the least. And like her, yeah, I also have had, you know, experiences and believe 100% in, you know, a bigger picture and afterlife beyond this one. So, but yeah, we definitely, have a similar come back together on that topic. But yeah, we definitely have two different views on the other. But that's mainly theological in nature. So, I think that's cool. That's cool. And I'd like to actually learn more about the group and what you all do. Yeah, for sure. Cause that's something I'm always open to listening to different perspectives on that, for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, I'd heard about a death cafe, but I'd never really gone to one until I came out here. And I thought, you know, I really would like this experience to be able to talk about something that I'm interested in, that I have questions about, and the other people in the group aren't going to look at me like I'm a wacko or something. And mm-hmm. and every time that I've been, we have had little snacks, and everybody's very welcoming and very happy and friendly. There have been some moments where it's been sad, you know, things like that. But, yeah, and especially with Order of the Good Death, there are a lot of resources with that organization. And I'm learning that there are more and more people out there who are death positive. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like a warm feeling in my black heart. Let me just say that.
That's exactly how I feel about it. Oh my God, Kimberly! It's too bad you live so far away. We would go together, drink our teas. Oh man, yes, definitely.
Well, I haven't been to Colorado in a long time, and just saying, we haven't been on a vacation in ages.
Now we got another reason to go.
Maybe we'll have to trek west, and we can have some great conversations, drink tea, and have a Coors beer. It'd be awesome.
Yes.
Oh, but yes,
fun.
I I've told a lot of people, it's like, no, come on out to Colorado. Come on, you know, come out and visit mm-hmm. and deal with the high altitude. And, oh, yeah, you'll be sick, but it'll be over in just a few days. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to. Yes, it does. And Holly, yeah, for Holly, that, yeah, it'd be a little bit of an adjustment for sure because of her, some of the stuff she deals with. But, yeah, it's a, it would
not
be,
breathing, yeah.
She'd love it. She would love the scenery, environment, and everything else. I know that,
I love nature. So yeah.
Have to check that out for sure. But as we come up to about 5 minutes left in the show, I do want to give you a chance to tell folks about where they can connect with anything of yours, photography, books, or Viridian Tea Company. Let folks know where they can follow up with you after the show.
Sure. So I'm on Instagram, Viridian Girl, and that's V-I-R-I-D-I-A-N Girl. I do have an Etsy store, which is Viridian Tea Company. And like I said earlier, it's currently shut down for inventory purposes, but it will be back up with all my blends in stock in about a week or 2 weeks. I am published through Pro Se Productions in Arkansas, and all of our books are available through Amazon. Some of my titles, if you're looking more for the murder mysteries, I recommend Jackie Verona. So far, there are two books out in that series. If you want my dark fantasy, I recommend Order of the Black Silk, which deals with immortal plague doctors and the four horsemen of the apocalypse as a family. If you, upcoming releases, I don't know the date. I've got one book that deals with Medusa's sister called The Medusa House. I've got a collection of tea fantasy stories, which will be coming out very soon as well, also through Pro Se Productions. I also self-publish. I just published an anthology called Violet Windows. It was the result of an online journal that I was editor of for many years. The book has been released. It's on Amazon, and the tea blend will be out very soon as well. And if you happen to be in Azeroth, if you happen to see any character with a tea-sounding name, chances are it's me. So don't kill me, you know, I'll share my gold with you. And, also, too, if you want to catch my flash fiction, it is Eccentric Tea Woman. So if you actually go to my Instagram account and then you click on the link on my profile, all my links show up. So if you want the blog, if you want the Etsy store, it's all there through the Instagram profile. And I think that's it. And if I have forgotten anything, my apologies.
Well, thank you.
Well, they can find you one way or the other through those links.
Yeah. And we need to have you back more often. Definitely. And we need to do some more deep dives on various stories and stories we can share with you, too, and stuff that, yeah, I mean, definitely need to have you back on the show. Sooner than later, because tonight's been a blast. I feel I'm ready to go. I got a second wind. This has been awesome.
Once again, thank y'all so much. And anytime y'all want me back on to tell more strange and unusual stories, just let me know.
You got it.
Heck
and
yeah.
Definitely we'll be in touch about some other stuff for sure. And at some point, yeah. I know, you know, it's not easy to get here from Colorado, but of course, one day I would love to show you what where we've taken the convention in Louisville too. We'd love to have you come back there in person. That would be fun. But thank you for coming, joining us tonight, Kimberly. This has been wonderful, and I'll let you and Holly have the final word and take us out.
Well, thank you, Kimberly, for joining us. It's been a trip. I hate to end the show. It's been so much fun. So, yeah, we definitely got to have you back sooner than later, and we'll continue this lovely conversation. But, yes, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, too, and I hope you guys have a lovely, lovely evening.
Take care.
Well, Well, listeners, join us next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another great show and another great creative. And until then, keep creating.